KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Oakland is a city with many happy and productive citizens, but the city is nevertheless suffering from a crime rate three times the national average, from poverty, lack of housing, and unemployment. To add to the city's woes, the city administrator and its mayor and police chief are all under fire, and in the hour ahead, we'll take the pulse of Oakland and see if we can discover why the city that Mayor Dellums once said was to have been a progressive model for the rest of the world appears to be one of California's most troubled big cities. Forum next, with your calls and emails after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning. As I said in the billboard to this program, Oakland is a city with many happy and productive citizens. However, it's a city steeped in trouble. With its high homicide rate and rampant crime and a budget shortfall prediction between $14 and $30 million, rampant violence, poverty, and unemployment, it's also plagued by a crisis in city government. Oakland's highest-ranking non-elected official, City Administrator Deborah Edgerly, is under federal investigation for possibly interfering with a police investigation of the West Oakland Acorn drug gang. Mayor Ron Dellums gave her until Monday to resign, retire, or be fired, and on Tuesday she announced that she would be ending her tenure as of July 31st. In the meantime, Mayor Dellums is under fire as well for alleged inaccessibility and what has been described as a hands-off job as the city's chief executive, a job the 72-year-old former congressman early on said he never really wanted. Mayor Dellums retired from Congress after 27 years in 1997. We extended an open invitation for Mayor Dellums to appear on this program since he took over as mayor, and we invited him to join us for this morning's broadcast. We want to talk in this forum hour about Oakland's problems and have assembled a panel of journalists, and we have the mayor's chief of staff with us, but we unfortunately do not have the mayor. Let me tell you who else is joining us. Chip Johnson is a columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle who has been following this story and has been pretty strong on this story. Chip Johnson, welcome.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning to you. We also want to say good morning to Roland DeWolk, who's here with us in studio, producer for KTVU, Channel 2. Good morning, Roland DeWolk.
Good morning.
And David Shea is also with us by phone. He is Oakland Mayor Ron Dellums' chief of staff. And welcome, David Shea.
Good to see so many of our friends on with us.
Good to have you here. And Zendi Abraham is also here with us, a blogger with Oakland Focus, former economic advisor to Mayor Elihu Harris, and former columnist for the Montclairian.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you, Zendi Abraham. Chip Johnson, let's begin with you. And you were at City Hall when the mayor announced that Deborah Edgerly was leaving the office as the end of July, and you expressed, strong disappointment, severe disappointment, I think is how you phrased it. Why?
Because I felt that the mayor had a chance to be decisive, to make a decision, to lead us, to show by example Oakland residents that he was the guy running the show at City Hall, making the hard decisions that, you know, that affect our lives. He didn't do that. He opted out.
He also, according to your column, did not take any questions?
No, he did not. He refused to take questions. I think the mayor's chief of staff, David, was besieged by reporters afterwards because the mayor and Deborah Edgerly, the city administrator, who also spoke briefly, walked right out of the room after the press conference.
Well, let's try to sort some of this out with you since you've been on the story from the beginning. Deborah Edgerly is under federal investigation, as I said, for trying to, at least so the allegation goes, tip off a suspected gang member, her nephew, William Loven. But there's also been concern about her bullying police into hiring her daughter, who is allegedly unqualified, and misusing her authority in a number of instances with an incident that took place outside of an Oakland nightclub. This is a morass, and many of the public trying to figure out what's going on here. There was also an allegation that the police chief tried to get her fired. So maybe you can help us sort through this.
Well, I can't speak to the last part of that, but you know, there's been a system of patronage, nepotism, in Oakland, I think that's really kind of memorialized it in the institution. I wouldn't say that Deborah Edgerly is the first person to use those tactics when deciding, when making choices on who to hire, things like that. But I believe that she inherited some of those beliefs, and she's used them in her job. I mean, one of the things I can tell you right now is that an Oakland employee by the name of Daria Edgerly, who is Miss Edgerly's niece, she was just promoted two pay grades, started a new job on Monday. That decision was made by Deborah Edgerly.
This is something that you said should be investigated by the Attorney General's office, former Mayor Jerry Brown?
I think it should be investigated by an outside law enforcement agency, someone outside the city of Oakland, because I believe that the problems are so much a part of the institution itself that nobody from inside the city of Oakland is going to be able to separate the two.
Talking to Chip Johnson, who is a columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle, who's been covering some of the difficulties and problems in Oakland city government. You've referred to Mayor Dellums as the emperor with no clothes.
I call him the quiet mayor.
Well, the quiet mayor.
That's
pretty euphemistic.
The quiet
mayor. This is a mayor who, actually, you and others have said is simply not on the job. In fact, the allegation is that his wife is acting as mayor, really, or subsuming what should be his responsibilities.
Well, I know that his wife has an office inside City Hall, and yeah, I've looked for Mr. Dellums to step up and show some leadership on a number of occasions. Now, it hasn't been all bad, but it's been mostly bad. With the exception of a garbage lockout about a year ago this time, and a police contract that he helped negotiate, he had a big hand in that. I can't say there have been many successes.
Chip Johnson again, columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle. I want to go to David Shea, who is Oakland Mayor Ron Dellums' chief of staff, and you have been besieged, I know, David Shea. I have to tell you, though, just with my own disappointment, that the mayor is not here with us. When he was a congressman, he always had Lee Halterman as his spokesman, his general counsel, and when he retired from Congress, I spoke about the fact that he was inaccessible to come on the air, and he said that he had a good deal of antipathy toward the media. I said he would get a fair hearing here. I assured him of that, and he apologized publicly for his inaccessibility for Forum, but we have had an open invitation to the mayor to come on this program since he took over his duties and responsibilities, and he has steadfastly been inaccessible to us and apparently to everybody else in the media. So let's talk about that first.
Sure. Let me talk about a couple of things that just were raised. I think going to leadership and talking about leadership, the mayor has demonstrated leadership. I mean, I think it is politically convenient to blur the line between Administrator Edgerly and all the allegations that are out there. This mayor is not going to shove someone under the bus for simply coming under investigation. That is principles versus political convenience. And this mayor operates by principles, and I think that does demonstrate leadership. On another point about the fact that Mrs. Dellums is in charge, I think that there's really no factual evidence that can come out that demonstrates that sentiment, and I don't think that needs to go any further. And
but so, let me just ask you why she has an office in City Hall when
she doesn't have an office in City Hall. That's just inaccurate. So, but this mayor is in charge. The fact that people may refer to him as a quiet mayor. Look, every mayor has different styles. The fact is that the police contract, as Chip Johnson said, was a huge deal that got negotiated. The fact that the mayor reorganized the entire police patrolling of the city is a huge deal. The fact that the mayor said we're going to get to 803, the minimum staffing levels that haven't been done over many years, is a huge accomplishment. You have to come to the conclusion by any objective measure that this mayor is present, because that takes work, that takes hours, and we're proud to stand by his record.
Well, what about his inaccessibility to the press? I mean, this has been...
I disagree with that wholeheartedly. The mayor has press conferences. The mayor, you come to City Hall, you want to talk to him, you can talk to him. He's one of the most successful people. He his style isn't necessarily to go jog around Lake Merritt. His style isn't necessarily just to pop up in coffee shops. This mayor is you know, 24/7, grinding it every day, making the decisions, showing the accomplishments. I mean, this mayor's brought in over $100 million worth of funding towards the city. I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, I just think that the idea that he's not present is simply inaccurate.
He did spend a good deal of time on the campaign trail and being in Washington as a senior advisor on urban issues for Senator Clinton, and there's been some criticism again about his not being on the clock. In fact, we'll hear from Roland DeWolk. You may want to answer that.
Sure, but let's talk about that. I mean, you know, I would say that if you look at all the time that the mayor spent campaigning, I mean, he did a fair amount. I don't think he was any more excessive than his colleagues, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, Mayor Gavin Newsom. I will say that, you know, let's look at when he does go to D.C. I mean, we just announced that we had about $800,000 from appropriations from the federal government for, let's say, the police department for Grow Your Own hiring, $500,000 for police equipment. These are the things that this mayor can bring and deliver for the city because he can and he has the relationships with members of the Congress that make these types of decisions. And I'll say this important point. People have to understand that the city's budget allows you very little. At the end of the day, you're talking about $1 million or $2 million of funding that you can create the Great Revolution. The money's not there. So you have to go out. You have to travel. You have to use all your other resources. And that's the strength of this mayor is he's brought all of his connections and all of his relationships. And those have really been valuable to the city. As I said, millions and millions of dollars to benefit. So I would say that the travel is well spent.
David Che, again, is Oakland Mayor Ron Dellum's chief of staff, and Roland DeWolk is here in studio with us. He's a producer with KTVU. They did a whole series on, well, on the spending practices of Mayor Dellum's. Before we get to that, Roland, you said Vice President Cheney looks transparent compared to Mayor Dellum's?
I have made that remark in the past, trying to get interviews with Mr. Dellum's, who David just said is totally accessible. I don't know of a reporter in the Bay Area who would not take issue with that, frankly.
I know a lot of reporters that have said that he is accessible and that he's out and they see him, and, you know, that's the fact. I mean, I would have to say, Roland, if, you know, the reporting that you do, if you want to ask the mayor about, you know, whether he spent $40 on flowers versus, you know, those are the kinds of issues you want to focus on. I mean, the mayor would probably be better served at, you know, closing the $15 million budget gap and spending his time doing that.
Well, in point of fact, it wasn't $40. It was in the hundreds of dollars. And the questions that we wanted to ask him, although we might put it aside if you wish, was $8,500 at a luxury hotel in 1 week in Washington, D.C., when he owns a very beautiful home just a couple of miles away in Georgetown. That was just one of the many line item budget items that were fairly substantial. I believe the aggregate on hotels alone exceeded $33,000. So there were really substantial sorts of questions that we were once again unable to talk to him about.
And you're assuming that his house may be available. I'm not going to get into that point, but the fact is that when you're talking about all the resources that he's bringing in to the city, and the necessary travel that it takes to do that, you're telling one half of the story. You're not completing it, and you're not allowing, you know, the real questions that need to be addressed, which is why did he travel, and what did the city get out of it? And the city got millions of dollars for these types of travels because that's the only way you can bring in money to the city. That's the only way you're going to fix these problems.
If I might, I would say that half of the story that we're telling, one, is very important, and the only way it's going to be told is by an independent press. And two, I would counter that in point of fact, Channel 2 does regularly bring the other half of the story, which is why we spent weeks trying to get him to talk about it and why we sat down instead with you, as once again, we have to sit down and talk to a member of the staff this morning looking for that perspective, which, of course, we gave a great amount of time to in our stories. And this morning, the show is once again giving you as much time as you wish. So both halves of the story, in fact, are being reported again.
Well, let me just, if I may, David Che, hear what the story is from Roland DeWolk's point of view. I mean, we're talking about a $60,000 a year chauffeur for the mayor. We're talking about, I mean, Jerry Brown was known for his thriftiness and frugality, but we're talking about extraordinary expenses compared to Mayor Brown in terms of meals and limos and hotels and the things that you've touched upon, but also the mayor's clock. I mean, you actually went to some degree to see how much he was on the job. And what did you discover on that score?
We went through the calendar in great detail. We had to ask for it several times because it was edited, or as we use in the press, redacted so heavily the first time around. But we got through it another round, and we went through it with some painstaking detail. And what became immediately apparent was that the mayor's work days alone, I mean the assigned work days that he actually worked, at a minimum, a third of them, 33% of them, he worked significantly less than 8 hours a day. And by significantly less, we measure that 4 hours or less, oftentimes an hour here or 2 hours there. It was just difficult to find out where he was. And this is not something that rests alone in the documentation, but it's an impression that you hear not only from reporters, but it is a very strong impression that you hear from virtually every member of the city council, from every department head. We don't do these things in a vacuum. We do talk to dozens of people. We talk to people who voted for him. We talk to people who campaigned for him. We talk to people who need to talk to the mayor and fulfill the responsibilities of that job on a regular basis, who constantly complain to just about anybody who will listen to them that they can't get any time with him. They don't know where he is. The documentation just underscores the impression that the people of Oakland, the voters of Oakland, the taxpayers of Oakland, the hardworking people of Oakland will make in almost any setting that you can go to in town.
And what did you discover about the mayor's wife's role in city government?
That's difficult to ascertain at best. We did notice that, for example, she was compensated some $700 to fly to Seattle and back. We were told by David that the reason for that was that she went to go see some people at the Gates Foundation. I do note that when he was running for mayor, he told an editorial board of a large newspaper here in the Bay Area that the Gates Foundation would be falling over themselves, I believe was the phrase that he used, in order to be able to give Oakland money. I haven't seen that yet. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps that was part of the money that David was citing. Although there are some, you know, the $100 million, it's suddenly grown to $100 million. Although there are some people who would argue that a lot of that money is just regularly earmarked money from the federal government. And there are people from the Brown administration who would argue that they brought in much more than that through development, and not just taxpayer money, but rather through actual jobs and through housing and so on and so forth. It's very difficult to separate those sort of things. It's absolutely critical that we hear people's perspectives, such as David's, and if we could ever hear the mayor directly, it's absolutely critical. What he has to say is absolutely important. All we're asking for as members of the press is to have that kind of access and to get that kind of information. It's the only thing that we really can advocate. Put the information out there and let the people of Oakland decide.
David Shea, and then we'll hear from Zinni Abraham. Go ahead.
No, and I appreciate Michael for the time here. When you talk about the schedule, you know, I alluded earlier to some of the accomplishments that we have achieved, and as I said, by any objective standard, you'd have to come to the conclusion that a lot of work needs to be done to accomplish those things. And because the written schedule, which, you know, anybody knows that with all politicians is a very fluid, document that doesn't reflect, a lot of things that happen day to day. You know, if the mayor was called to, go down to look at some ICE raids, if he is called to, go to speak at, a council closed session. I mean, these are things that, are not often listed that appear. And so I have to really challenge the notion that, this mayor, for whatever Roland or others, are saying is not present. He is present here 24/7. This job demands it. You can get nothing less from it. And this mayor has proven that his commitment and what he's been able to deliver, whether it's millions of dollars for the city, whether it's initiatives around public safety that many mayors perform and that took many, many years but weren't able to be accomplished, those are things that they take time, they take energy, they take staff work, and they take leadership, and he has demonstrated that.
Let me get Zinni Abraham in on this, who's a blogger with Oakland Focus. How do you come down on this, Zinni Abraham?
Well, first of all, just from my experience of knowing Deb Bradley since 1993, working in the city as both economic advisor to the mayor of Oakland, then trying to bring the Super Bowl here in 2005, I feel that Ms. Edgerly has been the victim of, first of all, a smear job, and additionally, an attempt to accuse her of tampering by a police officer that was upset that she was coming down to check on a family member, and additionally by people who don't understand that in Oakland we have a city charter and that the chief administrative officer does have administrative oversight and the responsibility and the ability to get involved in any city affair that he or she sees fit. But the problem is that with Deborah Edgerly is that since she was brought on as interim city manager, as we called it, in 2003, and then city administrator in 2004, she's always been either disrespected by people or in many cases made fun of. Consider that the Chronicle article that announced her appointment as chief administrative officer, as well as the Tribune article, both pointed out that it was because of Jerry Brown's celebrated run-ins with Robert Bob. It was widely known among city staff.
Robert Bob was her predecessor as city manager,
right,
or city administrator.
Yeah. It was widely known with city staff and others that Deborah Edgerly was someone that Jerry could control. Now, that in and of itself shows disrespect. If you go through all the media coverage on Ms. Edgerly, you will find consistent probes and questions, but only one article by the Tribune in support of her as the choice for city manager back in late 2003, and that's pretty much it. By contrast, we've had Henry Gardner, the legendary Henry Gardner, then Craig Koshin, then interim city manager Kofi Bonner, and then Robert Bob, all male, all recipients of great press and respect for innovative ideas, great approaches, and novel attempts at finance, using financial systems at a time when Oakland's budget was in dire straits.
You're
which are
suggesting
many.
Sexism here, then, because Robert Bob was African American, and so
yeah, absolutely, was, yeah, so, absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
And what about your sense of the mayor as an absent mayor? Or I mean, I think you've described him as doing a mediocre job.
Very much so.
But that takes into account what that he's lacking in, or what that he's strong in.
Well, basically, the problem right out of the gate is that this administration did not start with a publicly perceived set of goals and objectives that everyone could quote. For example, under the Brown administration, what they did was brilliant. They said, look, we want 10,000 people in downtown, increased arts, a focus on crime and a reduction of crime, and so on. The simple fact that I can quote that means that the Brown administration did a good job of communicating what it was trying to accomplish. This administration was all over the place. It had task force, which were primarily secret, which is not something you do in Oakland. In Oakland, everything is open. We had Oakland Sharing the Vision in 1991. That was 502 Oaklanders coming together to discuss how we can improve Oakland and setting up a publicly known set of goals and objectives.
We're coming up on a break, so I want to do this. I want to give out the number. I know there are many of you who would like to join this conversation with questions or comments, and so you're cordially invited to do that. And you don't have to live in Oakland to want to find out more about this ongoing story and what's going on in Oakland City government. You can feel free to join us now. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. It's available to you. Again, it's 866-733-6786. Or send an email to forum@kqed.org. Oakland's top non-elected official is resigning her post as city administrator. And we're talking about that. Mayor Ron Dellums, the state of the city of Oakland. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about recent events in Oakland, a city in crisis as far as city government is concerned, where many people are at least tallying up the problems, and we've certainly heard a lot of them displayed here and revealed here during the course of this hour, and we're going to go to your calls in just a moment. I want to remind you who's with us. Chip Johnson by phone is a columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle, and David Shea is Mayor Dellums' chief of staff. In studio with us, Annie Abraham, a blogger with Oakland Focus, and Roland DeWolk, who is producer with KTVU. And let me go right to your calls here. And Chris, we'll begin with you. Good morning.
Yes. Well, I am calling from Oakland. I have been living here for the past 5 to 6 years. And in that time period, I've noticed a really big improvement in terms of the downtown area being cleaned up. new construction. And then also it seems like International Boulevard has definitely seen an increased police presence, and that's cleaned up some of the problems they've had there. And I was wondering if that can be attributed to the mayor, or where those changes have come from, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. I think, David Shea, it's safe to say you'll take credit for the mayor on that behalf.
I think, you know, Chris points out to the realities of what this mayor has accomplished, whether or not, you know, we often don't look at the facts. The facts are, you know, very solid when it comes down to some of the things that we've done around public safety, around trying to create more jobs, trying to bring economic development. All those things are something that this mayor is focused on. As I mentioned to you just recently, we just announced $75 million in Prop 1C funding for housing development infrastructure. You know, there's a lot to really be looked at here, and I'm glad to see that there are some people who actually are taking note of that.
Chip Johnson, you want to...
Can I jump in here, Mike?
Sure.
Yeah, David, let's be real here, and let's be real to the listeners of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which developments were started under Mr. Dellums? Which one?
Well,
any of them.
Well, for one example, I wasn't. I'm saying
any
that,
example.
Let me finish, Chip. For
sure.
Example, you know, we announced Shorenstein, a big major player here, coming into Oakland. We've had several different other developments. I'm not saying that let me finish my statement, Chip. I'm not saying that. Look, a lot was accomplished under the Brown administration. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not here to give, I'm not trying to tout the mayor's horn. I'm just trying to simply lay out the facts as was stated and let people decide. And the mayor, former mayor Jerry Brown, did bring a lot of development. We're trying to continue that. This is a completely different economic reality. I think everybody knows what we're going through in terms of the downturn in the economy and the downturn in housing, but we're still plugging forward and we're still making improvements.
Sonny Abraham, you want to add something?
Absolutely. I think the truth is that what you're seeing in Oakland today is the culmination of efforts that started with John Williams when he was the redevelopment director in the late 60s, who paved the way for the land that is now city center. Then under Elihu's administration and before him, Lionel Wilson, the government nexus that we now have developed with the federal building. And then Jerry really reduced the institutional investor racism problem that plagued Oakland, such that Oakland has now more investors in it. So really the fair assessment is that what you see today has been 35 to 40 years in the making and ongoing. Dellums has not been in office long enough to put his stamp on the city, and many would say that we don't know what Dellums' economic plan is, not to beat up the mayor, but there is a serious problem there.
Wasn't he talking, Roland DeWolk, about public safety initiatives for business climate and new jobs? That is Mayor Dellums. We heard some talk fairly early on, in fact, about public initiatives.
We heard even David talk about the call for 800-plus police. It's not that difficult for a politician to call for something, and yet it has not been achieved. And to go to listener's call, if I might, and I believe we want to answer his second part of his question, what he's seeing along International Boulevard. Old-time Oaklanders will remember Disease 14th, the huge demographic change down there with the families coming in and the people who are opening up businesses left and right. I don't know how any one mayor at all could possibly have the audacity to suggest that they alone were responsible for that. It defies my belief.
And two things, let me just clarify that.
Wait, hold on, Zinni, some clarification from David Shea.
I wasn't saying that the mayor is taking credit for the development or the increase in police presence. I'm saying that the mayor has tried to continue those efforts that have occurred in the past by other mayors, and when we have made a difference, I'm not going to hide or I'm not going to, you know, try to distort the fact that the reality is he has made a difference on the streets in Oakland. So you have to be very clear that I'm not trying to, the mayor's style is not to take credit for anything. That's not who he is. The mayor is simply stating what he has done.
Let me get some more of our callers on here. Pat, join us. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Pat McCullough, and I actually ran for city council because I was disappointed in the leadership that we have had to deal with in Oakland. I see some of the problems are that there's just a regular acceptance of the bad things that go on and really refusal or fear to deal with the real problems. We just saw this happen with the budget deficit. Instead of saying, okay, we got to cut the growth in employee costs, what we saw was all the council people, and the mayor also was a part of this because his proposal didn't really deal with cutting the costs, was that we got to just give the unions what they want. And instead, when people want real progress, we find that we got to pay for it by just increasing the money that goes into the government where we know it's being wasted. Same thing with the crime. People know right away who the problems people are in the neighborhoods, but they don't have any outreach workers to get to them directly, and people are afraid to even report a lot of these criminals to the police department. And then once they get reported, they don't get prosecuted. And there's no real follow-up that people can see that's going to help us get out of these problems. We keep reelecting the same people who are part of creating the problem. So what I see happening in Oakland is that people are just too afraid to deal with the problems for either political reasons or fear for their own personal safety.
All right, Pat, we'll let that stand as an editorial comment, and I thank you for your call. I want to get more of our callers on here. We go to Eka next. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Eka Schneider. I live in Oakland, and I have a question for David Che. You claimed earlier that the mayor's refusal to dismiss Edgerly due to the investigation against her is, as you said, principled. But whether or not the allegations against Edgerly are true, it's, I think, very clear that this scandal has totally destroyed the already, frankly, pretty shaky public trust many Oakland citizens have in their government. And, I mean, don't you believe that the mayor owes his constituents a reasonable expectation of clean government, that they should be able to have a modicum of faith that the mayor takes charges of corruption seriously? If the mayor doesn't want to fire Edgerly because of the investigation, which I think is, as you referred to, throw her under the bus, I can understand that, but why not place her on, say, paid administrative leave so that people can feel confident that there won't be continued malfeasance?
Well, David Che.
Sure. The mayor is the CEO of this corporation, and you know, there is a reporting structure that makes him accountable for the decisions that need to be made. As I stated earlier, this is a country where, you know, until you are proven guilty, you are innocent, and you know, she has not been convicted of any crime. There is an investigation going. We believe that if anything, that if there's any conflicts of interest, that we deal with it, whether it's, you know, not having her be involved in issues related to the police department. We've made those kinds of changes, and I can say strongly that our form of government is going to continue working, and you know, we will have a smooth transition, as Ms. Edgerly announced that she was going to retire.
I'm going to bring a question to you, Chip Johnson, coming from one of our listeners, Mary in Oakland, who wants to understand the path that led Deborah Edgerly to become city administrator. She never says, never understood why Jerry Brown tapped her for the position in the first place.
That's a good question. I don't know either. I think Zenny is partly right. I think Zenny is partly right that Jerry felt like Deborah was someone that he could manipulate and control. Robert Bob was a very strong individual character, and he and Jerry clashed over ideas. I think Jerry wanted to run the show without that kind of challenge from his city administrator. I would like to toss in one question here to David, if you don't mind.
Go.
One of the things that the mayor said at the press conference on Tuesday was that Edgerly's resignation was a decision that had been made 6 months ago. Is that correct?
That is true.
That is true. Okay. So, if that's the case, when did you guys start your search for a new city administrator? Who have you tapped, and who are some of the leading candidates? Because if this decision was made 6 months ago, then surely someone in city government has begun to search for a new city administrator. Who's doing that?
Well, we have put in a transition plan in place. We requested $150K for a search firm to go out. Rest assured, those plans are moving forward, and we will have a transition team.
When you began that search. When?
As I stated earlier, again, I can state it again, we have a transition plan in place as we speak. Deborah Edgerly will retire July 31st.
Rest assured, we will have
a seamless transition and a government that will not be serving the people.
Well, let me get some more callers on here. We've got another caller in Oakland. Mercedes, join us. Hi.
Yeah, good morning. I'm an Oakland resident and business owner since 1990, and in watching this mayor's tenure, it's really been insulting to see the lack of engagement he's displayed, and I want to completely contest the mayor's spokesperson's assertion that he's been an active and engaged mayor. Just taking the example of addressing the crime problem, what the mayor finally did after approximately 2 years in office and after a huge increase in crime wave, after many letters from citizens such as myself and council people, finally took some action, which actually was raiding the Measure Y funds, which were already allocated for community policing. There's not a plan in place for continued funding for the police officers. And just as one example, it took them a long time to do anything, and then once he did something, it's not even structurally sound. Secondly, in terms of taking action with Deborah Edgerly's office or even any city government corruption, Courtney Ruby, the city auditor, X months ago, came out with an audit which showed questionable spending on the part of the city, including Edgerly's office. And Dellums did nothing. I was one of many citizens who wrote the mayor, got no response back. Dellums did nothing. So he's having a lot of fun going to a lot of mayor's conferences and being bowed down to as some great model city mayor. But, you know, he does not appear to be actually present in the city getting things done. And just the insulting fact that he's spending the kind of money he's spending when, sure, if you need to go to Washington, you need to stay at a hotel. Do you need to spend $30,000 over a period of time when you have a city that's suffering from a huge budget deficit? No, you could stay at a less expensive hotel. That's the short version of that one.
Go ahead, David Shea, but let me actually color that a little with nuance for a moment, because I think some of these criticisms that you're hearing and that you've heard and will probably continue to hear have to do with not only perhaps a hands-off mayor, but the idea that maybe Ron Dellums, he was a very distinguished legislator, but as an executive, it's a very different kind of thing to run, and that a lot of his loyalty seemed to be based in D.C. I know he was very concerned about a story in the Wall Street Journal that was critical of his work, which seemed mild by comparison to some of the criticism that's been heaped on him here locally. And one wonders if there's more interest where the mayor is concerned, frankly, in Washington and in national affairs than there is in Oakland.
Well, let me address several of those issues. One, if you're talking about public safety, which was just raised, and going to Roland's comments, it's easy to say that we want to get to 803. We announced that we are going to get to 803. With the last two classes through the academies, we will be at the minimum staffing levels, which have not been achieved for years. Secondly, if you look at the stats, there was an FBI report that was widely disseminated, and surprisingly, it had a graph in there that said Oakland, was decreased in terms of 15% in terms of a homicide. Now, I'm not saying that the homicide rate is acceptable. It is not. But the fact that it went down over the, last year, 15%, I think has to be reflected here. I mean, if you look at other public safety issues, auto burglaries down, residential burglaries down, commercial burglaries down. These are things that we believe are important because of some of the initiatives that we worked on. And, of course, some of the other statistics are going to show that we're up. But by and large, this shows an active involvement by this mayor in trying to tackle these issues. And when I'm talking, and when we talk about the second issue around travel, as I said, he is deeply engaged in the city of Oakland. This isn't about wanting to go to D.C. or wanting to, he wants to be able to use all his resources And that's the benefit of, having the mayor be the mayor, because he has such long-standing relationships. And everybody knows power, money is in D.C., and that's where you can bring home a lot for the city. And those are important points to continue to be raised.
Well, you mentioned safety, David Shea, and I want to go to a caller who has some concerns along those lines. But before I do, I want to read an email from a listener named John who says, good morning, Michael and guests, and thank you for this morning's show. I've lived in Oakland for several years. I've owned a home here for past four. I voted for Mayor Dellums. I was completely dissatisfied with Mayor Brown's performance, even with Mayor Brown's successes, such as downtown development. His efforts were of limited benefit. For example, see the number of business closures on Broadway downtown. Under Mayor Brown, safety in the outlying areas, I live in Maxwell Park, was seriously compromised. That said, I've seen only a degradation of public safety under Mayor Dellums. Given the Herculean task ahead of him, I'd like to give Mayor Dellums the benefit of the doubt, but I do not see any forward movement on public safety. Too few police, firehouses that are not given, are not open 24/7, and social service programs that are not delivering enough to the city in need. And let me go to this. I thought I was going to go to caller on safety, but I'm going to go to caller Elliot, who wants to talk about a favorable impression of Dellums. Go ahead, Elliot.
Well, I mean, I started out with a very favorable impression of Dellums and have retained it until I've been listening to this program this morning, and Mr. Shays is doing his employer no favors at all. There are three things that, two specifically, but that have turned me around here. The question about when they started the transition team. I mean, it just is obvious that he's spinning, if not outright lying about that. And then the second thing is, I've looked at politicians' schedule. A well-defined schedule has everything, and the new things that the things that come up are written in because the politicians want to, you know, remember that, and they want to say they want, if they're touched for a favor or speak, they want the record of that so they can tell that person, I came down and talked to you. So the fact that those schedule isn't packed full, even if it's ad hoc, says to me again that there's something going on there when Mr. Shays isn't fully representing what's going on.
Sonny Abraham, you want to? Yeah.
I'd like to add, just for historical reference, that when Mayor Jerry Brown first came in office, he suffered many of the same criticisms, not being around, not being engaged. Mayor Brown's administration had to learn how to run the city of Oakland. The Dellums administration has the same problem, only worse, because they don't have the expertise in dealing with the press that Mayor Brown did.
Let me get more calls on. Gene, good morning.
Good morning. I am a resident of Oakland since 93. I am distressed at the mayor's running of the city, specifically the public safety. Since he's been mayor, we've had spectacular crime, including the murder of a journalist at 7:30 in the morning by the Your Black Muslim bakery crew that seemed to get loans from the city and not pay them back.
We did a whole program on the Chauncey Daly murder.
It's outrageous.
A lot of that occurred before Mayor Dellums' tenure, though.
Yes. Parada's carjacking at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. A boy shot at his piano lesson. The takeover robberies in neighborhoods that we thought were safe, where there's a robbery and then the patrons are robbed as well. The murder rate in Oakland versus Alameda and Berkeley are all outrageous. I fear for my safety each and every day. I'm parked at Lake Merritt right now. When people walk behind my car, I wonder if I'm going to get whacked. It is awful, the lack of public safety that we feel.
Chip Johnson, you want to comment on public safety?
Sure. One of the things, is David's talking about the gains that the city has made in public safety, and there have been gains made. But I think when you have a half a dozen people gunned down in a weekend, times two wounded, I think you may be still a little bit away from a situation where you can say you have crime under control in your city.
I didn't say we had crime under control. I said we've made certain gains. That's
yeah. Well,
actually
those gains are barely measurable.
We're going to go to more calls here. I want to bring Roland Dewell back into the discussion, though, because in the piece that you did, that Channel 2 did on the mayor. There was a call for furloughs without pay for city employees, and there was also a mayor's statement that he would do some reimbursement for some of these expenses.
After our interviews, and when the story was complete, sort of at the very end of the week, we got a call from the mayor's office saying, oh, and by the way, we're going to do some sort of a reimbursement at some time. We haven't heard anything about it. I suppose what I'm hearing here from these many callers are the sort of things that I'm hearing on the street, and I'm sure that Chip hears with his reporting work on a daily basis, and I believe Zenny would probably jump in and agree that we're hearing everywhere around Oakland, what you hear in the hills, what you hear down in the flats, what you hear anywhere you go in town. We're alone here. There's this perception we're on our own here, and much of it comes down to, so for example, with the Deborah Edgerly story here, it all kind of wraps into this, that the man that Chip very generously calls the quiet mayor is often considered by many people we talk to as an empty suit, and the turmoil and the chaos that is ensuing at City Hall with the city council members
are running off on their own.
They're running around on their own here, all running little fiefdoms because there is no center in the assigned job that the mayor has. The department heads are running around crazy. There's a whole scenario that gets painted all the time that the reason Edgerly is having so many problems here is because she wanted to discipline Wayne Tucker, the police chief. And the police chief wanted to get rid of her first, and he won this skirmish. You don't know whether these things are true or not as a reporter, but you constantly hear this sort of thing. And it all comes down to the notion that there's a widespread belief that the mayor is just not there.
Well, we've got a caller here supporting the mayor, and let's get her on, or get him on. Early, good morning. Early, are you there?
Earl Gilson, yes, I am here. Listen, I want, in the interest of a balanced program, I want to support not only Mayor Dellums, but Mayor Brown before him. Here, this little tiny hamlet of Oakland have had such high-profile people to serve them in the chief executive office. Common knowledge, Mayor Brown was a two-term governor, and now he's elected to another statewide attorney general position. We have an outstanding congressperson who had distinguished career in Washington. Now he's the mayor of our city. And I want to also add that the voters, not only was a tremendous outpouring of support for Mayor Brown, because Mayor Brown beat 10 contenders and got almost 60% of the vote. Likewise, Mayor Dellums got the majority vote and did not require a runoff. So in spite of the tone of the callers, the people in Oakland have endorsed the mayor, and so much for my endorsement. The things that bother me in the city now is the fact that mayor had ran on a program of creating a model city. We have a police chief who is is working to that, in that direction. Now we have the opportunity to get a city administrator who hopefully will buy into that program and work towards creating this model city. The crime is ridiculous. There's no question about that. That something has to be done, but in concert with that is the condition of the Oakland public schools, because what Oakland has experienced is decades of deterioration of our young people, decades of deteriorating of the services, the educational services that has been provided to our young people. Consequently, these people grow up and they lack a lot of the resources, and when the crime thing is something that's there. So in terms of the press, railing on the mayor, it's unfortunate. I don't subscribe to that. And if our illustrious president in Washington can have conference, I would encourage the mayor to confront you people. If the president, with all his shortcomings, can have press conferences, I'm sure Mayor Dellums can hold his own. So I would challenge the mayor to do exactly that.
Well, I thank you for the call. And David Shea, you said earlier that the mayor has been having press conferences.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, every mayor has different styles. I mean, we don't, you know, govern by press releases, you know, and that's just not our style. But, you know, we do have a commitment and to inform the public of what we're doing. Certainly we can do, I'm certain we can do a better job. We can be more accessible, and we can do more when it comes down to communicating with the people. I just think that real quickly when you talk about describing Oakland as completely chaos, and you talk about, you know, the government's in disarray, and you're using all these sweeping statements without very much facts to back it up. I think Oakland is a phenomenal city. It has many challenges. It has many strengths. It has weaknesses. But oftentimes you don't hear about the positive things that are going on. Oftentimes you only hear the negative. And I would say that, you know, when it comes down to looking at all the facts and when you look at all the things that are going on, there's a lot of positive movement. And yes, we have more work to do. And yes, there are serious issues around crime that we got to tackle. But, you know, we're plugging away every day here trying to improve the city.
Well, we unfortunately have come to the end of this hour, so you're going to have the last word, David Shea. But let me implore you to have the mayor fulfill his promise that he will come on Forum, which he made, by the way, a couple of times on this program, and he has yet to fulfill. Let me thank you for being with us again. David Shea is Oakland Mayor Ron Dellum's chief of staff. I want to thank Zenny Abraham here in studio with us, blogger for Oakland Focus. Roland DeWolk, also with us in studio, producer for KTVU, and Chip Johnson, who is a columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle. And we thank all of you, and, if you've been depressed over this last hour, then you've come to the right place. In the next hour, we're going to talk with an expert on depression, a Harvard-trained psychiatrist. But even if it has nothing to do with city politics, you want to hear this because he has a lot to say that can be, well, can get you unstuck if you're stuck. Want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell, our interns, Joey Kahn, Shazia Joffrey, Kelly Pretzer, Megan Rollins, and Allison Van Diggeling. Also, our thanks to Jim Bennett, who's on controls this morning as engineer, and our thanks to all of you, our listeners, for all of us here at KQED. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.